Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
We go to Athens for the latest on your Georgia Bulldogs. This is Bulldog Roundtable exclusively on The Fan. Live from the Georgia's own credit union studios at the Buttsmere Building in Athens.
25-20, far sideline, 15-10-5, get in there, touchdown!
This morning, The Fan staff brings you the latest on the Dogs.
As the only station in Atlanta that's live in Athens all year long.
Yes, indeed! That was too easy!
Bulldog Roundtable is proudly presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union. Find out how you can become one of Georgia's Own at georgiasown.org. And by Haug Law Group, your local personal injury attorneys. You can't spell Haug without the U, the G, and the A. HaugLawGroup.com.
And that's going to be the ball game. Georgia will win this ball game.
Now, live from the Georgia's Own Credit Union studios in the Buttsmere Building in Athens, it's Chuck Dowdle on the Bulldog Roundtable.
Welcome to the Bulldog Roundtable this morning. We're live from Georgia's Own Credit Union studio, and we're presented by the Haug Law Group. Obviously, Buck in for Chuck today. I want to thank executive producer Adam Road Dog Gillespie, who had a birthday earlier this week and doing a great job here showing the way on the Bulldog Roundtable. Also, the engineer Sean Nerney, Big John Ratcliffe, we appreciate them too. So coming up on first on the show today, we're going to jump right in. Got Georgia now entering the football season, serious national title contenders in 2021. It's been a while, right? A little over 40 years, the best I can remember. So this might be the year for the Georgia Bulldogs. Let's bring on the editor of Athlon Sports, Stephen Lassen. And we got the preseason magazine hype now about to hit full force here, Stephen. So Athlon, I was taking a look. Bulldogs coming in number five. Now, that was before the free agency signings here lately. Tell us about what goes into making these preseason rankings at Athlon.
Hey, Buck, it's good to talk to you. You know, when we do our preseason rankings, you know, we're projecting where we think teams are going to be at the end of the season. So when you look at our top 25, we had Georgia finishing number five, and basically it kind of came down to, you know, those two games against Alabama and Clemson. As you mentioned, it was done before the recent additions of Darian Kendrick and Eric Gilbert. I think amongst our staff, there was a lot of debate as to whether Georgia should be number five or potentially number two. But when we do our rankings, we start by doing all the conferences, so the 10 conferences, and then we rank our independents as well. And then we get them on the board, and you start kind of arguing. And, you know, it's kind of a nominating process. You kind of go through number one. Who do you guys like for number one? And, of course, it's the usual suspects, Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma. And we're arguing and debating. And so we kind of settle on an order. I would say not all of us agree with the order, but we always try to put on a good face and represent the company in the top 25.
Yeah, and I'd say another thing that I always take a look at, too, are these preseason all-conference teams. And I was noticing, first team, good job, you and the gang at Athlon there, identifying Jamari Sawyer as a first-team offensive lineman coming into the year. And big Jordan Davis on the defensive side, the nose tackle for Georgia. We call him Big 99, Stephen. And looks like he's a first-teamer, too, coming into the year. How difficult is this identifying who the top players in the conference are preseason?
It's really difficult. And, you know, kind of with our top 25, kind of on that theme as well, we try to use kind of everything we know about players up until this point. So that's stats, that's recruiting, you know, everything you can up until that point. But we're also projecting ahead. We're trying to say, we know that, you know, the XYZ player is good now, but who at the end of the season are the guys you're going to be seeing on your all-conference team. So, you know, that's why guys like Bryce Young from Alabama, you also see some other names in there who haven't played a lot on our all-conference team. On Georgia specifically, I think Jordan Davis might be one of the SEC's most underrated players. And if you just looked at the stat sheet, you might say, well, he doesn't deserve to be first-team all-SEC. But that's kind of where when, you know, we're watching games and we're talking to people around the league, looking at advanced metrics, you see the impact that Jordan Davis makes on the team. So I think he's going to be in the mix for All-America honors, just so disruptive, controlling the point of attack for Georgia. And you mentioned Sawyer. You know, I think just so versatile. Where does he fit in on the line of scrimmage this year for Georgia? So it is a very fascinating and interesting time at Athlon when we get our all-conference discussion going, because you get some different opinions, you get some debate, but you're also trying to take a guess on who at the end of the season is going to be on the all-conference team.
Stephen, the Bulldog Nation wants me to thank you, too, for you and the staff. They had JT Daniels' third team and Kobe Dean, the linebacker, third team, because they're going to be so motivated to have you guys have them on the first team in the postseason ranks that this is actually a good thing. Do you get much pushback from people about the selections and all of that?
Absolutely. Yeah, I was going to say, I was hoping you wouldn't bring up the JT Daniels thing, because I've got some pushback this offseason on it. You know, the quarterbacks in the SEC this year are so fascinating because Corral, Bryce Young, and JT Daniels are all top 10 quarterbacks in college football this year. I think they're all going to have a great season. And we had a lot of division on our staff. You know, Matt Corral ended up first team largely because he's the only quarterback that we considered who started for a full season at his current school, and we know the stats are going to be there in the Ole Miss offense. So I think while JT Daniels is third, there's really no shame when Bryce Young, we think, is going to have a big season. All of these guys can be All-America contenders. You mentioned the Kobe Dean. You know, it's a conference at linebacker that is deep. You know, guys like Christian Harris, Henry To'oTo'o, you know, the guys over at Auburn, K.J. Britt. It's a very deep year for linebackers. I'm sorry, Zakobe McClain for Auburn. It is a very deep year for linebackers in the SEC. So I could certainly see Dean finishing higher. And, of course, Adam Anderson for Georgia. We'd like him as a first-team All-SEC linebacker this year.
Stephen Lassen, editor, Athlon Sports. Stephen, we appreciate you dropping some knowledge, spending a little time with us today on the Bulldog Roundtable.
Hey, Buck, anytime. Thanks again for having me on. I enjoyed it.
I think we all really enjoy those preseason magazines, right down at the beach. Gives us some reading material, us Georgia Bulldog fans. So number five coming into the year. You know, I'm really concerned about the end of the year more than the beginning. But that's a good place, good starting place, I believe, for the Dogs. All right, coming up next, former Georgia offensive lineman Josh Brock will hang out, and he's going to talk about the Dogs' new biggest concern. It's no longer cornerback or ex-wide receiver. Folks, it's the offensive line. You're listening to the Bulldog Roundtable here on The Fan.
The only Atlanta station broadcasting live from Athens all year long.
This is Bulldog Roundtable on The Fan.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. It's Bulldog Roundtable with Chuck Dowdle, live from the Georgia's Own Credit Union Studios in the Buttsmere Center in Athens, on the official sports talk station of the Georgia Bulldogs, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Joining us now on the Bulldog Roundtable, the pride of Cartersville, former Georgia offensive lineman Josh Brock. Josh, we appreciate you taking some time for us on your vacation, man. Now, last week, the Bulldog fans, they were concerned about cornerback and ex-wide receiver, and with the news about Gilbert and Kendrick joining the Bulldogs here, suddenly now the offensive line is the biggest concern for the Bulldog fans. So how's this thing going to shake out up front, Josh?
I think it's going to be fine. To me, the reason that people are concerned is the last two performances really were lackluster. When you look at the performance in the Peach Bowl and then, of course, spring game, which you and I know you really can't take a whole lot from that, and also, too, your star or your best returning offensive lineman not able to play in Jamari Salyer at all really in the spring, I can see why that is a cause for concern. But to me, I look at the returning in-game playing experience going into the 2021 season, and it's better, Buck, than it's been in the last couple of years. And so to me, I think that I can see why it's a concern for many of the fans, but I really don't think that it should be.
Look, Matt Luke has done a marvelous job. When we lost Sam Pittman, Josh, I was saying there's no way we come close to replacing him. Matt Luke's done it. He's done a good job in-game. He's done a really good job recruiting, forming relationships. I'm totally encouraged about what he's doing there. How about you?
Well, I am too, and you're right. When you lose a legendary coach like Sam Pittman, it's kind of like, you know, years ago when you lose a legendary Neil Callaway, what's going to be the exchange there? But to me, Matt Luke's done a couple of things. He has done an excellent job recruiting, as you pointed out, but it's the type of lineman too. Just look at the size difference. You know, Matt Luke and Todd Monken's offense is predicated on linemen being able to get out in space and block, whereas the majority of the offensive lines that we had under Sam Pittman, those guys were bulldozers. They were motor graders. And so when you look at the quality of guys that we're able to recruit and land here at Georgia, they're also, too, size-wise, very different, much more athletic guys. And so you'll be able to see that through the spring and into this coming season with the types of offensive linemen that Coach Luke want and what Coach Monken want for their offense.
Josh, coming out of G-Day, looking at left offensive tackle, I thought Truss looked improved from when I saw him in the bowl game against Cincinnati. I saw Salyer, just know Salyer last season was really outstanding as I was seeing it. And then now the Amarius Mims now, it looks like the next big thing at left tackle. How does that shake down? I talked to Stinchcomb earlier, and I said, why don't we start Salyer against Clemson in the opener and then maybe go to Truss and Amarius Mims at that point in time? He thought that was funny.
And the reason he thinks it's funny is probably because Jamari Salyer is not naturally a left tackle. He's had to play that position for us just because we haven't had the experience there in the past. Jamari Salyer is a guard all day long, a very good one at that, but he's had to play left tackle. I think he actually will start at left tackle in the Clemson game, mainly for no other reason is he's going to have the most in-game snaps at that position than any other cat on the offensive line. And to me, you're going to need that in that first game against Clemson. Then you're able to transition him to his more natural playing spot, which is a guard.
And what was your first impression of Mims in the spring? Did you get a chance to see him? He looks like the next big thing.
He does. The athleticism to me is what pops off the page. I mean, when you look at a guy that's that big and that mobile. Same with SVP, too, just a little bit different body, right, obviously, because SVP plays center. But when you look at Amarius Mims, I mean, the guy is really – he moves well. He bends well. So left tackle, to me, is kind of one of those things. How bendy is that guy? And if he's stiff as a board, he's not going to be a left tackle for long, or at least not a successful one. But that, to me, was the thing that stood out. And I kind of throw out performances because the best thing that this offensive line has going is they're probably practicing against, if not the best, one of the top three or four defensive lines that they'll see all season long in any game, and they're practicing against these guys every single day. And so, to me, I think that's what's going to make it best. But to me, Amarius Mims, just how flexible he is, how well he moves and athletic he looks, that's what pops off the page to me for him.
You brought up center. They're in a good place there, right? Erickson is a proven guy, very versatile, and Van Pran is very impressive.
Yeah, to me, Erickson's your Swiss Army knife, and every good offensive line unit needs that. Everybody needs a guy that can play all five positions when called upon in a short call. But to me, Van Praan, he's the guy, right? You know, nothing against Warren Erickson. He's a heck of a player, and he's had his day in Athens and will continue to be a good offensive lineman, a good productive offensive lineman for Georgia. But SVP is the dude, man. That guy at center, and you know this just as well as anybody else, that offensive line goes, everyone likes to focus on the left tackle position, but as offensive lines go, strong O-lines have a top-class center. And SVP, to me, I think, is that guy. He's just going to get that opportunity to show that this year in games for everybody.
Josh, do you look at Warren McClendon as underrated at right tackle? He's coming off a really solid season.
No one likes to talk about him because no one likes talking about right tackles. But to me, he's a guy, and the reason why nobody talks about him, which for an offensive lineman, that's a good thing, right? Because that means you didn't give up many pressures. You didn't give up many sacks. And so if you're a guy that no one really likes to talk about or no one does talk about, that means you're doing your job. And he does an excellent job. To me, he is the nastiest run blocker we've got coming back. Yes, Warren Erickson got some nasty in him too, but McClendon is the nastiest run blocker we have coming back. And Georgia's run game, as you well know, it is predicated on that strong side or the right side of the offensive line. That's where they like to move to first. And so to me, that's an excellent player for Georgia return. And also, too, just a lot of high-quality snaps last year for him.
Broderick Jones, a young player, developing. Impressions of him so far?
It's a flip of a coin between him and Amarius Mims. I think Amarius is just more talented. You know, Broderick's a good offensive lineman. To me, he's going to be the backup ultimately to Amarius Mims. But I also think, go back to 2002 where you had John Stinchcomb, George Foster, and Kareem Marshall, and all three of those guys rotated right and left tackle. Jones, Amarius Mims, and Warren McClendon, to me, I think that's what you're going to have. I think you're going to have a three-tackle rotation. Yeah, McClendon's your main dude at right tackle, but Broderick Jones is going to be versatile in the sense that he can play left and play right in the event of an injury, which is also important.
Offensive guard, Salyer, Schaefer. Ratledge looks like he really made a move in the spring.
He did. He was the benefactor of Jamari Salyer not being able to go. That gave Tate Ratledge a lot of reps. And to me, reps are a key for a guy. You know, and I don't want to disparage single-A football at all. And actually, he played at Darlington right up the road from me there in Cartersville, so I've seen him a lot. He's a nasty player, strong guy. I mean, big, strong kid. But he's just got to play faster. The game's too fast for him right now. But that comes with time, and he got a lot of reps in the spring to really be able to pick up the speed of the game. And, again, playing against a really good defensive line in Georgia's returning defensive line. I mean, he's going to get that. I think he's going to be a guy that we can lean upon to play both right and left guard as needed. But Justin Schaefer coming back for a fifth year, to me, is huge. He's the elder statesman of the group. But that middle, with the type of passing game that Todd Monken needs, the trio, as I call them, right guard, left guard, and the center, that trio is going to really be the point of the pocket. And those guys in the passing game are going to be as equally as important as they are in the run game, because your guards are the ones getting out in space and moving more than anybody else. But in the passing game, and Salyer, he's a lockdown dude, right? We know that he's going to be an excellent guard. He just needs to get healthy and get in game shape and be ready to roll. But the other guys, man, I tell you, I'm excited to see what they can do and how they gel together as a unit.
Yeah, I'm not one of the ones concerned about the offensive line. In fact, I'm excited to see what Matt Luke puts together here with all this. This may be the deepest group I've seen at Georgia.
You're right about that, because when you look, I mean, you're four and five stars at two deep. And then you even go into the three deep, you got some three- and four-star guys in there too. And granted, I'm not one that gets oohed and awed by stars a whole lot. But when you look at our offensive line, we are game-ready, serviceable, at two deep at every position across the line. And you know from watching Georgia football over the years, you can count on one hand how many times we've had that. I mean, it's just an unbelievable amount of depth that has been compiled there at the offensive line position. But also, too, in-game snaps that are under the players' belts. That is a huge, huge thing coming into this season compared to last season. And, again, second year in a new system, you know, things are a little more you understand what's going on. You understand the nuances of the offense. I think all of that bodes well for the offensive line heading into this season.
All right, that Clemson game's looming. Let's get your first thoughts. That Tiger defensive line with Breesy and Murphy, a couple of Thomas, it looks like one of the better defensive lines in the country. What are your feelings at this point, a couple of months out?
We're ripping the Band-Aid off from the jump. But as a fan, I'm excited about that. You know, as a player, I would be excited about that too. Let's get a good game under our belt and not a directional school. But to me, Buck, it's going to be how well do we control? Because it's going to be a road game. I know it's not at Clemson, but it's in Charlotte, so it's going to be a heavily dominated Clemson crowd there. I think that from a run game perspective, we'll be fine as long as we control the lines of scrimmage. And that matchup, to me, is one of the keys in that game, Georgia's offensive line against Clemson's defensive line. I think pretty much everywhere else you either have a wash or an advantage for Georgia, except in that one spot. I think Clemson is farther along in that, so that matchup will be huge for us to start the season, how well we play against that super strong, super talented Clemson defensive front. But then again, you know, JT, as long as he's got time to find his receivers, a healthy stable of receivers, a healthy stable of backs in game number one, I think it ultimately bodes well for the Dogs.
Former Bulldog offensive lineman Josh Brock dropping some knowledge on us today. Josh, we appreciate it, buddy.
Buck, thanks for time, man. Appreciate it always.
All right, coming up next on the Bulldog Roundtable, I've got some Bulldog Nuggets make their debut coming up next on the BTR. You're listening to 680 The Fan.
This is the official sports talk station of the Dogs.
It's Bulldog Roundtable on The Fan.
This is Georgia head coach Kirby Smart, and you're listening to the Bulldog Roundtable on the official sports talk station of the Georgia Bulldogs, 680 The Fan on FM at 93.7. Go Dogs!
Welcome back to the Bulldog Roundtable, live from the Georgia's Own Credit Union studio. We're presented by the Haug Law Group. And let's bring on some Bulldog Nuggets, man. I mean, it's been successful on The Fan. These shows I've been doing, how about a couple of Bulldog Nuggets here in the final segment of the show? I want to wish the best to 16 Georgia track and field athletes who are competing in the NCAA championships this week, the end of this week up in Eugene, Oregon. And I'd say I've had my eye on the sprinter Matthew Bowling. He's qualified for the 100-meter, the 200-meter, and the 400-meter relay. So wishing Bowling a lot of success out in Eugene, Oregon. By the way, Bowling broke Mel Latney's Georgia record in the 200-meter in the SEC championships. Matthew ran a 20.06. Latney held the record for over 40 years, set back in 1979. Mel came out for the football team after setting that record, playing a little wide receiver during the spring. We tried to get him out on the football field, but Latney, one of the all-time greats, UGA track and field athletes. Also, Bulldogs wide receiver Arian Smith qualified for the NCAA's 100-meter. Arian finished eighth in the SEC championship with a 10.18. Over on the baseball field, the Diamond Dog, Scott Strickland, hosting clinics all summer long. You can find those opportunities online with a simple search. And by the way, 11 Bulldogs are playing baseball this summer all over the country, including the Cape Cod League. Major League Baseball draft approaches July 11th through the 13th, and Bulldogs left-handed starter Jonathan Cannon expected to go in the first three rounds. Wishing him the best of luck and all those guys playing baseball this summer. It's going to do it for the Bulldog Roundtable this week. A special thanks to Road Dog, Nerney, and Ratcliffe, all those guys for leading me through this thing. Chuck's coming back next week. He'll be back with you. Always a pleasure hosting the Bulldog Roundtable here on The Fan.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.